Blog Talk Radio.
Truth. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Your host for the next 30 minutes for Prophecy Zone, and I appreciate it, Phil Armstrong, for giving me the opportunity to fill in for you today. The topic for today in the book of Revelation is the seven trumpets, and I am the author of the book, Explain This, and I'm kind of taking my interpretation more of a literal way, in a way that it makes common sense and simple to understand. I am taking this from my book that I wrote about a year ago, and just now starting to get into this Blog Talk Radio, and I appreciate Phil for the opportunity. We'll start with Revelation 8, verse 2, at the beginning of the seven trumpets. I will read from the Bible first, and then we'll focus on that particular verse, and we'll kind of go through that chapter and get as much as we can in today. And Lord willing, next week we'll finish it up. Revelation 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints. On the golden altar before the throne, the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Now, this particular area here of before the trumpets is explaining a golden censer. And before we get into the trumpets, there is an event of ancient Jewish custom that takes place first. And I believe it has a significance as to why the placement occurs here before the trumpets. Although the opening of the first seal starts off the tribulation period, it is my view that the first trumpet also starts at the beginning with a different set of events or a different view. It will be the trumpets that bring on single separate events, and they are quite detailed, as we will know here. I think the trumpets will trigger the aha. That's what Revelation meant among the believers as the events unfold, and that is why I believe the golden censer is so important at this point. Now, in ancient custom, the prayers of the people were presented to God every morning and every evening on the altar of incense. A high priest would take the specially made incense, and after a pause in time for prayers, would place the incense in a censer. Now, the censer was similar to like a small hanging pot. It was suspended with three or four chains, and hooked to a ring. Now, the golden altar, or the altar of God, was located outside of the Holy of Holies, just in front of a very heavy and large curtain. Now, the priest would not be able to enter into the Holy of Holies unless it was just once a year. But every day, twice a day, he would go up in front of the curtain and place or throw oil upon the burning altar that was mixed with incense. And that would be the smoke that would go up to God, or it would go through the Holy of Holies from the curtain. Now, in Revelation, these prayers are coming from the saints. And I believe these prayers are indicating the return of the Lord. Notice that there is much incense. And I'm assuming that this would indicate that there are many, many prayers then. Now, these prayers are before God in heaven, and he is about to answer them. Now, these prayers may be asking for a sign to know how soon the return of Christ would be, and I believe that is the reason why this censer event is placed here at this point. Now, trumpets also play a role in Jewish worship and customs, as they are used to announce the arrival of something or someone important. Here in chapters 8 and 9 of Revelation, they also herald a warning of an occurrence that is to begin upon the earth. One thing we've got to remember, and this is my view, as with the seven seals, the trumpets also start at the beginning of the tribulation or near it, or possibly at the same time that the third horse comes out and follows each other in order to nearly the end. I do not believe that the trumpets begin after all of the seals have been broken. Just because John has written the next group, which is the trumpets, after the seven seals, does not mean that all the seals have already occurred. In fact, in our prior broadcast, I have explained the seals and why I feel that the seals must all begin in accordance, one after each other, but then the trumpets start up another set of events. The groups are mixed in together, and these are coherent, or they occur throughout the entire 7 years of tribulation. Now, the trumpets could also be a different view of the same event that occurs with the opening of the seals, and I'll address that as we get into the trumpets a little more further. Revelation 8, verse 6, "Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up." Now, you have to imagine that John is seeing this event like a video, and then has to describe in words something he has never heard or seen before. And this is where I feel that the hail and fire mentioned in the beginning of this section is a volcanic eruption. Now, in John's day, he probably would have never seen this, a volcanic eruption. So he is explaining fire mixed with blood gives the color of lava. Now, look at a video sometime and watch how the lava and all the rocks spews out of the top of the mountain. To me, that is exactly the color of blood. It's very red and very hot. Now, it is interesting that a third of the earth is consumed by this. Is this possible? Yes. Take a world map or globe and place it in front of you. There are sections of the earth that cannot be affected by this lava flow. And then we can start the elimination process first. Israel and all the Middle East cannot be consumed here, because we know Israel is mentioned as the final place for the Battle of Armageddon. China and countries surrounding it are not affected, because we see a 200 million man army coming from this area to fight in the Battle of Armageddon. The area of Italy and Europe are also safe from this catastrophe, because I believe the Antichrist will rule from here with the rise of the Roman Empire. That's what we will get into further on as we get into Blog Talk Radio as I approach the subject of who the Antichrist could be. But we do know that he rises out of a Roman Empire, which is the area of Rome, Italy, Europe. And we also see that business is booming from this area as we get further into Revelation also. So that is not all. That is not affected as well. The remaining great continents are Africa, North America, and South America. If you look at the geography of Africa, it mainly consists of arid desert in the northern half. And that could not be described as an area of trees and green grass. So, what about North America? Canada is covered with dense forests, vast plains, and farmed agriculture. In addition, the United States is considered the breadbasket of the world. Now, this would link in to the fact that if the basket of food was to be destroyed, would that bring about the severe inflation and the cost of food that the black horse brings about in the opening of the third seal? I think this relates, and this is how I feel that trumpets are mixed in with the seal. This first trumpet is something that coordinates with the third seal. I think now you can understand my point, as the two are mixed together, not the trumpets following the seal. I also believe that this is an indication as to why the United States is not mentioned in biblical prophecy, despite the fact she is a superpower in the end days. This may be the reason why. There's another strong argument for a volcanic catastrophe occurring as the first trumpet. It's the Ring of Fire. Take a very large area of the globe. Yes, it's actually a third. Is directly associated with earthquakes and volcanoes. And it happens to be located near and is also a part of South America. Look at the volcanic layout of the Rocky Mountains, the Continental Divide, which is located in the Rocky Mountains. Now, I have actually been here. There is an actual tourist stop where you can throw a snowball to the east or to the west of a particular place that you stand. And depending on which way you throw the snowball, the water flows either into the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. Now, this Great Divide is also a part of a long line of volcanic mountain ranges that is a part of the Ring of Fire. That stretches from the Aleutian Islands, from Alaska in the north. It extends all the way down through the United States, which is your Rocky Mountains, to Mexico. It then connects to the Andes Mountains, which continues down the entire length of the coastline of South America. Now the possibility exists of a natural disaster that could burn a third of the world with lava flows, triggering the massive forest fire. Yellowstone National Park is known for its volcanic tremors. In fact, there is a website. If you got a pen handy, I'll give you this website. Otherwise, you're free to call me or email me, and I would more than happy to give you the website. It is www.yellowstone.net/earthquakes. You can monitor on this website the earthquakes that occur every hour. This is a concern to geologists. That's why the website's created. They watch this very closely. Should Yellowstone blow? It falls right on the Continental Divide, and that would trigger the lava flows that would cover one end of the U.S. to the other. Revelation 8, starting with verse 8. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea was turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Once again, John is trying to describe something he is seeing from above, and he is not sure what it is. He's describing it in the language of his time. But it can be explained in a very literal way, in a way that it makes common sense. And I've got the scripture to back me up on this one. As this trumpet blows, the second trumpet, the top of the mountain that blew off in the volcanic eruption that was the first trumpet lands in the ocean. Now, many Bible scholars will interpret this mountain all ablaze as a meteor. But I think it means the top of the volcano because it is thrown, indicating there is a sort of force behind it. It does not fall. This passage also does not indicate that the mountain falls from heaven or resembles a star. The Bible also does not tell us how much time can pass between the trumpets. So we can imagine that the events can occur within a minute or so of each other. It is understandable that when something this large is dropped from the sky into the ocean, the ships cannot withstand the wake it creates. This is where the destruction of the third of the ship occurs. They are not destroyed by the blood. They are destroyed by the splash created from the top of the mountain. But how can a third of the sea turn to blood? Take a gallon of blood and pour it into a large swimming pool or into any body of water, and then turn on a pump to create a current. The blood would dissipate and turn the entire pool's water pink. The blood cannot stay confined to any particular area. So then how does the sea stay one-third red, considering the ocean currents? Now, I've struggled with this explanation for quite some time, and I was going to conclude my answer by saying that it's just a natural phenomenon that we will actually see as this occurs. However, I received my answer from this sometime later, and the only way I can describe it, it was just a God thing. It was about a month after I studied this passage where I struggled with how a third turns to blood when my son, who was in sixth grade at the time, had come home from school and was asking for a glass jar. He needed to collect some pond water for the biology class as they were studying water ecosystems, and he questioned me as to how many colors of algae can form in a pond. Now, I answered him to the best of my knowledge back from my high school biology days, but he mentioned that they studied in class that day a form of red algae. I didn't comment. I commented with just not too much interest. I mean, it's like, okay, whatever you say. I've never heard of red algae, but if you say so, I believe you. But he made this comment. Red algae forms in oceans and floats to the surface of the water. It makes the water look red, and it kills all the fish. I think it was about at that time. I think I did I turned around and just said, what did you just say? And to me, God gave me my answer. And this is the explanation that I work with. First of all, we have an upset of the balance in the ecosystem of the ocean from the splash from the top of the mountain. You can only imagine the chaos that creates, first of all. Also, algae can spread quickly when there is an imbalance in the water's ecosystem, and red algae flourishes in that condition. But it also flourishes when seawater becomes warmer than normal. Is hot lava flowing into the ocean not going to increase the temperature of the ocean's water? Take this into consideration. Red tides are caused when large masses of red algae form or bloom and float to the surface of the water. This variety of red algae floats on the surface of the water. It's a natural phenomenon that will actually turn the surface of the water red. It emits a toxin that is fatal to all marine life. Some fish are affected by the algae accumulating in the gills, causing suffocation as they swim through the algae. Others are killed by the toxin itself invading the nervous system. including all animals and humans who eat the infected fish. Google this, folks. Red tides. This is a phenomenon that has occurred a number of times already in the history of the U.S. as well as in the history of the world. It destroys an entire fishing industry in the area that it does occur. Now, can this explanation of the third of the sea be turning to blood? Is this red algae, the type of algae that holds together and spreads rapidly over the surface of the water? In fact, this algae is very easily can develop hundreds and hundreds of square miles in a few days. It's interesting if you would Google this because there's so much about it. It even causes respiratory problems on coastal cities. So this all links perfectly to the sequence here of this trumpet. Now, another clue of red algae is found in Exodus 7, verse 24. The Egyptians had to dig wells alongside of the Nile River to retrieve the fresh water. This plague of, quote, bloody water had occurred here as well. This is when Moses was cursing the nation of Egypt for not letting the people go, through God, of course. Now, fresh water is only available as groundwater because red algae cannot grow beneath the ground's surface. It must have sun and open air in order to grow. So this would make sense. Red algae was the plague at the time of Moses. It occurred there, and it caused a lot of problems with the fish then. It also grew in the bowls and stone pots that were in the houses of the Egyptians. Get a fish bowl. Algae does grow in a bowl in the right conditions. So can red algae. Revelation 8, verse 10. And the third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and people died from the waters that had become bitter. Now, I think this is different now from the second trumpet, because it falls from the sky and is named a star. This is completely different from the volcanic eruption. This star, in quotes, is an angel of sorts. He is described in chapter 9 of Revelation as part of the fifth trumpet, and we will get to that next week, who is able to open something. A star as a piece of rock cannot do that. However, it is one and the same. This star is Satan, thrown out of heaven. That's mentioned in Revelation 12, verse 9. Thrown out of heaven down to earth. Now we will see this as a meteorite hitting the earth. I don't think it is a nuclear weapon, because even though it comes from the sky, the star is from heaven. But what could be argued here, however, is the clue of Wormwood. Now, the name Chernobyl, when translated, means black grass or black stalks. It comes from the Ukrainian word Chernobyl, which refers to mugwort, which is a close relative of the plant Wormwood. Wormwood is a bitter plant used in medicine and alcoholic drinks. Because of the link to the Chernobyl nuclear power disaster plant, the nuclear power plant disaster in 1986, many thought this prophecy was then fulfilled. But I think it is a link to describe acid rain that does occur as a result of atmospheric changes after an asteroid has entered the atmosphere. Rain does affect rivers and springs. Regardless of how this is interpreted, the end result is the contamination of drinking water. Maybe the meteorite would hit a nuclear power plant. Now, wouldn't that be fulfillment of God's word to the exact letter? I think we have a little time here. Let's get into some more of the trumpets. Revelation 8, verse 12. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. Now, this can be explained easily by the massive plumes of volcanic ash mixed with smoke of large areas of burning landscape. This in itself creates its own chaos. The weather is affected and the environment is severely damaged, even if it is not directly in line with the fire or the lava flow. If you have a third of the earth that is being burned up and a third of the earth that is affected by lava flows, this would easily then interpret as a third of the light and a third of the sun is also affected, or a third of the daylight. Revelation 8 verse 13, and I watched and I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Notice there's three woes here. To the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blast that is about to be sounded by the three other angels. Notice there's a shift here in the trumpets. There is a hint from the angel that things will get worse from here. The first four trumpets were natural disasters. And this is where I feel that a lot of people link man-made disasters as part of the series of trumpets. I do not believe that is true. I believe when God creates a disaster, which is mentioned in His Word, it is something He creates through natural forces, through acts of God, not through acts of man. And I think that's a big part of understanding Revelation. God uses acts of God to interpret His own words. He does not rely on man to create chaos. That is a man's problem. Basically, God creates everything that is occurring in Revelation, so everything can then be reflected back to God as, yeah, God being at fault with what is happening to the earth, which is what we'll see, the shift of the Antichrist. Now, these next three trumpets, and notice, like I said, the woe, 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 there is a hint that things get worse from here. If the first four trumpets are natural disasters, the next two are demonic. The seventh one will be devastating to the unbeliever. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. Notice this is the same star that is linked with that fourth trumpet. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke of a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. Out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth, and they were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. The devil now is given the opportunity here to open up a part of hell. Now, it is not clear whether or not the smoke from hell is also the smoke mentioned in the fourth trumpet. It could be a smoke screen, pun intended, to conceal the release of locusts. What needs to be explained here is the locust, and we will get into that next week. Appreciate your time and listening. My name is Christine Weick. You can reach me at 1-888-653-9752 or my email at explainthis@att.net. My website, explainthis.us. Thank you very much and have a good day.